And we're recording another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show.
Toy Show.
I am Rob.
I am not Rob.
This is Jay.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode.
Is that too low-key of an intro? Do I have to do it the regular way?
No, I think it reflects our age. You don't want to be
the Welcome to the Jay and Rob Toy Show. I'm your host, Rob McCallum. Before we get into it, allow me to introduce the Doogie Howser to my Kevin Arnold, Jay Bartlett.
Hi, how are you? What's going on?
There's a difference in the tones here, Jay. You got to keep up. You can't bring it down. You got to keep up.
I'm going... You go higher, I'll go lower. What is up? I'll be like Stephen Wright. What's going on?
I did not notice the TV in the background last time that you have mounted above your one-ups.
Do you know what that is? It's kind of a little bit hard to see with the
glare. It's blown out right now. It looks like anime right now.
Yeah, no, that's, I got to get a better camera for streaming, and then that will be clear. Same with the arcades. They're a little bit, it's a little bit rough.
It's blown out, yeah.
That's video power.
Oh, well, are we going to get sued now?
No.
Is that like all the NARC games, or the Acclaim games, like NARC and Quirk?
Yeah, it's like Quirk the Tomato,
and Warriors, the
guy from Arch Rivals.
Bigfoot?
Kiro.
Tyrone.
Yeah, it's all about Johnny Arcade.
Something like that.
You want to be like Johnny Arcade, don't you? Yes, I do. Well, you're on your way.
There was a period of time when I'd go over to Jay's house and visit him, and he'd just say, "Come on in," and I'd open the door, and then he'd like skateboard into the room.
I did.
Hey, what's going on? And you did it with sincerity. You weren't even trying to parody and be fun. You were just whizzing right into the room.
Hey. Anyone who doesn't know Video Power, it's a show that came out in 1991. There was two seasons of it, and
they're very different.
Yes, one was a game show, but the first season is the best. Johnny Arcade is the host, and I can't remember the actor's name. I had it on my phone because I looked it up. But anyway, I wanted to be him so bad, and I still do. To the fact that I went out and got my desk for streaming. And I'm not even lying to you. I went to Lover's, which is like the office supply store, and I bought a used receptions desk. I'm sitting in literally a reception area right now because I want all the consoles on the desk, like Johnny Arcade, which I have, and I have all the controllers, and I have my thing, and then I just press one button and everything comes on.
I'm about to blow your mind. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I just Wikipedia searched it, and the actor's name is Stevie Paskowski.
That's it. Yep.
The series was created by Jack Olesker. Jack Olesker is responsible for creating He-Man and the New Adventures. He wrote a number of DuckTales episodes, and he's a key writer on Mask.
Cool. That's why I like it so much.
Other things, of course, and executive produced by Haim Saban and Shuki Levy, who, of course, have music credits on He-Man and She-Ra, amongst other cartoons that we all know. So, is it any wonder that we like that show when it has so much DNA of all the other shows that also imprinted us?
Absolutely not. Subliminal, because we didn't know that. There's just something about
just found out right
how
now.
Cool that dude was, man. And the fact that he had...
Was he cool to like...
Oh, yeah.
He's still cool. 12-year-old Jay and Rob, or is he just...
still cool.
Was he... Yeah.
Dude, he's still cool. He had like TurboGrafx, Genesis, and Nintendo. Like nobody had that, man. You know, like...
Okay, so he bought some toys that were awesome, but was he actually cool, or was it just his...
Oh, style? He's cool, man. And then remember he's talking. Remember he just reaches behind the couch and grabs his chip bowl and then his thermos of pop or soda for everyone in the States. And he's just sitting there. He's like, let's check out an episode of the Power Team. And when we come back, some tips for Ninja Gaiden. It's great, man. There hasn't been a show like it. I wonder why.
Well, Jay, that's going to feed into maybe some of our discussion today. Maybe we can come up with our own Video Power.
Video Power? I was gonna do a gaming podcast called Video Power, but I didn't want to get sued.
Okay, insert coin. Icebreaker for you this week is actually about video games, hilariously. And that is, Jay, I want to know if you could have any action figure line based on video games, any single game, not like... The Mario stuff. It had to be a single Mario game in this case. or it could be any other game, any system, any era. Which game would you want to see an action figure toy line for? And I also want you to consider what some of the figures would be in Wave 1. Of course, a playset and any vehicles that would make sense.
I think we've been pretty blessed with the amount of game figures that we've got. However, that being said, there's always been one particular game company that makes precisely zero figures, and that would be Rockstar Games. I would say any Grand Theft Auto figures, and not necessarily just Vice City, which is, I think, both of our favorite ones, but it would be like the Grand Theft Auto universe. You'd have characters from every game. I think that would be mine. I mean, we've had great Nintendo figures. We've had Capcom's made a ton of figures. Konami's made figures. I would like to see Grand Theft Auto. And then you could have Bully. Then you could have Red Dead. You could have so much.
I don't know how... What was the other one? Was Bully was the one where you got kicked out of school. There was another one. Was it... No, it's not Salem something. Oh, there was one other game that got in a lot of trouble.
Oh, Manhunt.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you can have the Manhunt protagonist. I forget his name now. Like that, where did that series go? It just kind of faded away.
I don't know. I was trying to think of this. I don't really have an answer, to be honest, on my side of things. I was more curious what you would say. I mean, my immediate thought was just to have a pure Mario 3 line, where you could have the different iterations of Mario, all the different costumes and such.
You play sets would be easy. Though.
Yeah, but not at $80 a figure we haven't, Jay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I got to feel guilty and awful about myself.
Yeah, you got to feel bad about collecting dollars.
I mean, it'd be great to have a Tommy Vercetti, like Ray Liotta figure. That would be so wicked. And
could come obviously, the vehicles make sense. What would be the playset, though? Like Tommy's apartment or whatever?
Well, yeah, and I can't remember the club, the Malibu, I think it's called, which, you know, let's be honest, Vice City is essentially Scarface in every single way. So it'd be like the main club.
I'm trying to think of a pure video game experience that isn't tied into other IP that I really loved. What the last one was. Eternal Darkness would be up there as a one-off.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Did they ever make Perfect Dark figures?
There was a doll, and then there was a line called... I can't see it from here. Oh, Tutaku's. And they're basically like bootleg Amiibos. They're the same size as Amiibos. There was a Joanna Dark for that. I have Banjo and Conker as well. There was a 12-inch doll. I think it was Europe only. Hmm. But there was no dedicated toy line to Perfect Dark, which is crazy because when the Xbox One came out, you'd think, okay, Microsoft's behind this. We're going to get a ton of stuff. But we got nothing.
It's weird. It's weird. And at Comic-Con this year, they announced there would be He-Man Masters of the Universe integrations with Fall Guys. Mm. Are you familiar with Fall Guys, the game? Mm. Yeah, it's kind of like a bit of a game show, race to the finish, battle royale, elimination kind of game with different skins that you can earn and unlock, of course. And Masters of the Universe was going to be part of that. And I thought
the racing game, right?
Yeah, you kind of race. You almost look like Amiibos.
It's a foot race. That's right. Yep. Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, there's those Dorbs figures that kind of came out. And there's, of course, Mega Constructs and Playmobil type He-Man stuff. This would be interesting. And at least you could play with it. I don't know. Fall Guys stuff.
I find like with game related stuff, like Fortnite is kind of, for me, fading for interest because they're introducing stuff like that. You have so Batman, you have Snake Eyes, Indiana Jones. It's like you don't.
Indiana Jones is in Fortnite.
He was a couple seasons ago. You had to do some quest line to unlock him. But like, what kid knows who that old dirty old duster is? Nobody knows who that is. Nobody wants that. No kid wants Snake Eyes. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, I can't really think of the last original IP game that I played. It's been a few years since I've really invested in gaming, though, that doesn't have any figures or some sort of physical presence outside of statues. I find most gaming figures, though, aren't really driven by, you know, like articulation and things like that. I find they're more like limited articulation, like 4 or 5 points and kind of a display or a statue.
Yeah. I agree. I have, well, you know, my collection of gaming figures that I've had in absolutely every single house I've lived in. They've been on the walls. They're old, man. My Mario Kart ones, my Ocarina of Time, my Majora's Mask ones. Jeez, I looked up the Majora's Mask line, and my link alone is $1,100, like
minimum.
Which is great, right?
That's so the course, Deku one that you have.
It's the what?
The Deku mask, is it?
No, I have that one, but it's just Boy Link. It's just Boy Link. Then I have the Zora Link. But
boy,
so Link, I'm putting him in this new game room here. And what do you think happens? These things have been everywhere with me. I go to put them on, the friggin' bubble slips off. And I just looked it up a few days ago, $1,100. I could see it. Boy. So
that's 1,100, 1,900, 800, 1,000, 0, 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's still worth something, but he's actually really cool out of the box. But yeah.
So are all like, figures, Jay. So are all.
They're actually way better out of the box. Screw in-box collecting.
Yeah, exactly. We got a lot of, at least I got a lot of messages from last week's show about the $10,000 that we talked about that was possible to spend a year in collecting. A lot of people raised a few eyebrows, like, wow, you have a lot of, you have a problem. You're really addicted. They keep getting you. It's hard to say no. Did you get any comments about that?
No.
Oh, I got tons. People reaching out. I felt like I was a support group. Like I was going to suddenly walk in and walk into an intervention or something like that. Now let me clarify that the $10,000 that could easily have been spent within a year's time of my life, a lot of outside factors. On average, it's probably less. All I'm saying with that, with the cost of figures nowadays.
Don't backpedal now, man. Own it.
No, with the cost of figures nowadays, if you were to collect like we did 2 or 3 years ago, $10,000 would be an easy number to hit, especially with all these crowdfunding projects that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, you and I met up this week at our local comic shop and we both picked up the same figure, and it's been like 3 weeks maybe since I've got something, and I think same with you. So I'm finding it easier when I go out to say no to this stuff, which is good and bad. Like we talked about last week, it's sad because I don't want to. I love getting this stuff, right? It brings me joy. But I'm okay in the fact that I don't feel like crap after. My bank account thanks me, so... it's kind of going back to like maybe when we were kids a little bit, where getting that one thing once in a while it's more special.
Yeah.
You know, like getting two or three things every single week.
I will say, and I'm going to talk about it in a couple topics. It's nice that you and I talked about this, especially with G.I. Joe, how many, there's so many different lines and so many different options and price points and scales and offerings. Whereas that was overwhelming before and you had to pick and choose and buy and snag.
Scales, offerings, tick.
it's nice because if you can't afford, you know, the $75 Super 7 Ultimate figure or whatever it is, you can get the $20 version of the figure. And in some cases, it's as good for other reasons. And I'll want to talk about that later, but that takes the guilt off, right? Because like the thing you love so much that makes you feel like when you were a kid again, when times were easier, that also will harken back to where you are now and pull you in like to a full circle, nostalgic moments. Like, yeah, this is cool. This is still with me. This is something that's important that I love. You don't have to, it's not a yes or no decision. Now there are shades of gray, I think, that you can rationalize with.
Yeah.
However,
There's a lot of this lesser expensive stuff is really climbed up. Like pop figures are not this little novel cheap thing anymore. I mean, you're forking out $20 for a pop, which when they came out in Canada, they were $10. And that was like Origins. I've talked about it many times. That was a lot of the draw to me. The Origins were only $14.99. Hey, that's affordable and they look great. They're built well. And pops are not necessarily built well. They're not supposed to be, right? They're just trophies. But now $20 for a pop, reaction figures, which, you know, I don't like them. But reaction figures are $26 now before our 13% tax.
Yeah, it's a $30 figure in Canada after tax.
For a reaction figure, is everybody okay?
Is everybody getting this? Everybody paying attention here? It's tough. And yet, we keep coming back to the price thing. And I don't want to belabor our audience with hearing us complain about prices or
being price fatigued. It's a big thing that affects everybody. It's affecting everybody.
Well, we don't want to keep talking just about that. Otherwise, we're going to talk about the same thing every week. I will say,
get off my lawn.
I will say that it's interesting when the optics of something change, all of a sudden it's a lot easier to justify some of these big prices. And last week we spent a good chunk of time talking about the Eternia playset for Origins that's now for crowdfunding. Well, I talked about how to get it in Canada, the exchange, the duty, the shipping was going to put you, you know, between $1,200 and $1,300 Canadian. There's a retailer, ecollectibles.ca, that has some Eternias available for pre-order through them. It's you get King Grayskull, even though it's passed on Mattel Creation. So they've secured a bunch of these already. It's $1,000 Canadian, free shipping, and you can split it into four payments of $250.
That's, I like that.
So four payments of $250, which Mattel was not offering, although they, I guess they are now through PayPal after the King Grayskull figure came and went as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Free shipping, and it's only $1,000. So it's only, it's like $200 more than the US equivalent of $550.
I like that.
So
I don't know if I've talked about, I might have, my sideshow Grogu that I got a couple years back. The pre-orders for that came out in February. It wasn't being released till November or December. And sideshow, I believe it was sideshow. Let's just say it was sideshow. They allowed payment plans. So they would take out from your bank account or your credit card, whatever you signed up for each month. And that to me is more digestible than coming up with $1,000 chunk right there. I know it's the same in the long run, but spreading that out over 9 or 10 months, I would be more inclined to do a lot more of these if I didn't have to shell out that big chunk right off the bat.
Right.
So I like that idea.
Yeah. I think it's, it makes it easier to, like you said, it doesn't change the price. It just makes it easier to afford. Again, it's not a yes or no deal. Now there's options, there's solutions, which makes it easier if you want to acquire. With this thing, I'm still of the same the mindset, though. Like, where is it going to go? I almost would rather just have, like, you know, an art print of the box art, which we still haven't seen yet, than the playset. And you know what? Okay, I'm going to say it. What bothers me is the stupid lion head in the middle. Or is it a tiger? I don't know what it is. Because a lion would have a mane unless it's a female lion.
Yeah, tiger to me. Yeah.
So it would be more like a tiger. Why do we have all these heads in these Masters of the Universe playsets? Like, you got Grayskull, and then you got the Muppet head in Snake Mountain. Slime Pit has a skull.
They're designed for little children.
Yeah.
It's a play feature for a child.
Yeah, so is G.I. Joe, and you don't have heads in their stuff.
Well,
so is Transformers.
G.I. Joe, I think, is different than He-Man, where G.I. Joe goes in that... To me, it goes in that category of RoboCop where and Rambo, where it's like, can you believe they made a toy out of this? Even though the cartoon was pretty friendly, it's still a military toy line, right? Guns and real guns. He-Man is a little bit more, you know, you can play with it a little more because it's swords and sorcery. So the playsets, Grayskull, I understand. Snake Mountain has always been ridiculous. I don't like that ghost face or whatever that thing is.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Your Snake Mountain, is it set up so you can see both sides?
No, both that and Grayskull and my Crystal Castle are all folded in just for space.
Do you turn it around so you don't see the Muppet side?
I don't. No. Because my OCD, I know that's not the front, so I would go crazy.
Oh, for me, it's so easy to turn around. Even with my classics one, I have it turned around so I basically see the staircase of the snake at the top.
I mean, you remember the commercial, like... with the kid and the microphone. I mean, it's a big play feature, and the kid who had the mic would play with the puppet mouth and stuff. So I get it. But again, that's for children of the 80s. Now as adults, now we're looking at this and be like, why do they design it that way? Well, it's because for kids, man, you know, which is why I said they should have updated Eternia. And I think I would have been more interested in picking it up, but
I just don't want the stupid lion face in it. What's for me, I don't like it. Like,
it's Thundercats.
Can you imagine if it was just like another kind of castle tower or something else? Right away, that sounds way more interesting to me. And if you would have had those towers connected with, you know, a castle wall, you just snap it on. So it looks like a uniform half wall.
The two towers look great because they don't have any of that silliness. I get it. Those, they're just underscaled.
The Viper Tower and the Grayskull
Tower.
To
be in the background. Yeah. I understand that, but yeah, I mean, that one doesn't bother me. Snake Mountain and even the Hordax base, which is
Fright Zone
garbage. Fright Zone. I mean, it has that stupid puppet, and we don't want to talk about that thing. My favorite villain gets the crappiest playset.
Well, maybe Origins will fix it for you to some degree. Who knows?
But do you think if they brought out the palace, the King Randor's palace, do you think they would have to put some kind of weird gimmick on the front of it? Or do you think they could just make a plain castle?
If it was being made today, it would be a plain castle, because a normal castle is fine for the kids that are buying it. And because it is an adult nostalgic line, we want something that looks more like probably the cartoon. We don't need the face of Randor etched into the side.
There you go. There's one. What would they put on it? Like Marlena's spaceship or something? Like,
I think they would probably put like statues in front of it, like King Grayskull or something that would be in the front of it, just so that they had some sort of presence or some sort of figure that tied it together. I don't know.
Whatever.
The other thing with Eternia is, by the time that came out, and I don't remember too much in the late 80s of Eternia, like I was already segueing into like some of the other like lesser known lines, the one-off hit wonders like Visionaries, Cops, and I mean Turtles was coming up, and Captain Power. And you got to remember, in Canada we got everything a little bit later than when it debuted in the States sometimes. So Eternia comes out in 86. We didn't really get it right away in Canada. 87 rolls around. That's when everything is starting to pick up for all these other lines that are one-off wonders. And so I was kind of done with He-Man and slowly playing with newer things at that time too.
Well, yeah, but I think more than that, I think if it had been offered to us, we would have taken it. And we were well off. I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying it wasn't a part of my childhood, so it's hard for me to care that much about it. The right. reverence I have for it comes much more as an adult collector than this thing that I want to recapture.
Sure. Well, maybe that's, I think I'm going to lose my point here if I don't say it, but the Eternia playset and the flag are in the same category. And those were so far out of the league. Even the most generous parents of the 80s, there was zero chance you were getting this. You were getting either of them. There's no way. Like, I didn't even ask for this stuff because it was just no way. First off, they were way too big. And they're way too expensive. It wasn't even, oh, please, please, please. It wasn't even any of that crap. It was just like, I'm not even going to ask for this thing.
Right.
Now, going back to what you just said, I think you just hit it on the head where, I don't know where I come up with these numbers, 90% of Masters collectors that are our age didn't have this thing. So here you go. Now's your chance to get Eternia, and you can get it at a reasonable price. So everyone's jumping on it. It's like, I never had that thing. It's like the flag. Nobody had it. Well, now everyone's going to have it.
Do you think the introduction of Eternia is going to inspire HasLab to want to look at a flag?
Oh, God, I hope not. I hope
if it is just for 3 3/4?
I hope not. There's no direction to the line. I've talked about this a million times. There's no direction to have a... I don't
want to talk about direction. I just want to talk about offering the opportunity.
I hope not. I would say it's definitely on the table. I wouldn't put it past them. Of course, that's the Joe playset. But what is it going to go with? I guess your vintage guys, because there's been what, 5 O-ring figures, 3 O-ring figures, and then the ones
Baroness and Megatron.
Stop
the Hiss tank. No, Jay, the Hiss tank.
It's terrible.
No, it's Baroness. So terrible. It's an O-ring Baroness.
That you got Megatron 8 figures coming with this so bad. It looks like the War for Cybertron Megatron, and then they just glued the top half of the Hiss tank on his back. It's so bad.
I know you're not a fan of this line, but it looked like one of the RED Megatrons that I have.
Yeah. Well, at least, yeah, sure. Yeah, it looks like a Transformer that doesn't transform. And so you know that it's attached to G.I. Joe that glued, like, they found like a ton of like top half of his tanks in some warehouse. Yeah. And like, I got it.
It would have been really something if it would have just transformed like many GoBots do. And it just revealed flat surfaces for the face, chest, and arms. And it was just stickers of Megatron's face and body.
There's Transformers like that. There's diecast.
Wasn't like Brawn have like no face? Or is it Red Alert?
No, there's
Red
Alert. Like, there's, I don't know if it's Shattered Glass. I can't remember what the line is called, but there's a Diecast Optimus Prime. Okay, here's the truck right here.
Yeah.
Doesn't transform. Honest to God, dude. You lift it up like this and you look on the bottom and there's a picture of Optimus Prime.
That's so the coolest terrible. Figure
I've it reminds ever heard me of that.
I love that.
And anyway, this thing should have been $29. And even at that, I wouldn't even touch it because I think it's stupid, but that's what that thing is worth, not $130.
The antidote to all these pricey figures that we keep talking about is looking for discounts. And that's pretty rare for new stuff. But there's more out there than I realized. And I mean, all you have to do is like look on Amazon and search your favorite toy line. Like I looked at Origins, for example, and I found the Wind Raider for $20 new, and I found Buzz Off new for $10
Canadian. No way. He's already on sale again. The same fate. Poor Buzz Off. I love Buzz Off.
I think I got the figure. I'm like, oh, he's such a cool figure. And I like the vintage.
I always loved him. I remember when I got him, you couldn't find him. And I wanted him so bad. And then finally got him. I'm like, this guy is amazing.
Well, he's on Amazon right now for $10, Jay.
I already got him.
All right. Well,
full price.
$25. There you go.
Yeah.
How often are you looking for discounts on new stuff? And are they out there to be had?
They are, yeah. If you don't have to have everything at once. And the Origins vehicles are prime examples of that. Because for some reason, they're always on sale. These things haven't really taken off.
6 months later, those bigger two packs and vehicles seemingly drop at least 30%.
Yeah, and they're reasonably priced. It's just, I really think the core audience of this line wants the castle, and then they want the figures. They don't care about, and then they want the mounts too. But other than that, I don't think. I mean, the sewer shark is stupid.
The land shark. A lot of people love the land shark. It's a classic for some
Roton. People. Give me a break. Ridiculous.
You
don't
like the Roton? You said that was your favorite one in season 4 of Action Figure Adventure season 1. This is my favorite vehicle.
I lied.
There you go, folks. Jay lies on camera. Don't believe anything he says.
I hate the Roton. Stupid old Rotor.
Well, what vehicle for Masters do you like? Vehicle. Don't say attack track.
Battle Ram. No, Point Dread. I like that Talon Fighter.
The Talon Fighter?
Yeah.
I don't think you know what you're talking about. Google it right now and see how.
You would have.
No. Look how dumb this thing looks. This thing is bigger than the stupid perch that sits on top of Grayskull's tower. This thing is an oversized orange net that looks more ridiculous than the Delta Probe 1 that Robin drives in Superpowers.
Yeah, I like that thing too. I like that it attaches to Grayskull, even if it's out of scale. So everything's out of scale.
It's a giant thing that's bigger than half the castle.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Hate the Talon Fighter.
I like the Wind Raider that has no covering. It's like, yeah, let's drive in this thing. Let's fly.
Well, it's no different than being on the Sky Sled.
Yeah, that thing's safe too. I think
it sure is.
People on Eternia are just more competent. You know, it's not like us where it's like, I can't imagine driving that. It's like, yeah, because you're an idiot. These guys in Eternia know what they're doing. They don't have to worry about falling.
You know why they're safe, Jay? Magic.
Yep.
Magic fixes everything. Well,
if
He-Man
falls, if any of these guys fall, they're going to be fine. You see the muscles on these guys?
I was surprised, though, to find the Wind Raider for Origins for like $20. It's, you know, it's $45 in stores. Now, you don't want to do this if you're a collector and you're ordering from Amazon, because, of course, we know how Amazon treats delicate packages in their boxes. Ram, cram, shove, tape, send.
If you get the one you ordered.
Yeah. And my Wind Raider box did not arrive so great. The flap like bent all the way over. There's no crease on the front, but there is on the back, which is whatever. For $20, it was going to be opened anyways because there was no way it was going to be pristine. And Buzz Off is actually pretty good. There's only some minor corner wear on the package. But again, $10. I'll open it and have that figure out on display because it's that cool.
I found Buzz Off and the Sorceress that are part of the same wave at Rexall Pharmacy. The beginning of summer, if you can believe that, in our town here. That's just, wow. I was in there. The one in Byron.
Metro?
Yeah, I was going in there for whatever, and I found they had one of each. They had the entire wave, which was Jitsu, and I forget the other one, Buzz Off, Sorceress, and someone else.
Yeah.
Tan color Stratos. That's that wave.
Yeah,
so I got Buzz Off and Sorceress. I was like, cool. Yeah. You did Jujutsu? No, I left them.
You left them?
Jujutsu.
Why did you do that? Why didn't you get me one?
Schemes grabbed the other two.
I bet he did. Is he still collecting all this stuff?
Didn't pay for them. I'm just kidding.
I bet he didn't.
He is. He got, yeah, he's posting now, which is our buddy Joe. He's posting on the
we call them Schemes.
Jay and Rob Figure Collective. He's posting his pickups.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see. Yeah.
Is he getting Eternia?
He said he was going to.
You tell him about e-collectibles.
He's got everything, I think, to this point.
No, he doesn't.
He just got Zora and Teela.
He's missing the exclusives.
I don't think that he is.
He doesn't have the original San Diego Comic-Con Prince Adam.
Oh, the Prince Adam, yeah.
He doesn't have the translucent Skeletor. He doesn't have the 5-pack Lords of Power He-Man set from PowerCon 2 years ago.
Well, he'll get on that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll watch him scheme his way into those. He'll scheme those into his collection soon enough, I'm sure. We were talking about like the options that you've got in toy lines. And Super 7 announced yesterday a new line of Star Trek Ultimates for the next generation. Of course, their Ultimates line are these $55, which are now $84.99 Canadian after shipping duty and everything. And the first wave has, let me see if I can remember, Data, Riker, Guinan, and Locutus of Borg, which of course is Captain Picard when he gets captured by the Borg. Jay, you can't wait to discuss this. What do you think? I'm going full screen for this.
The Trek? You know how I feel about the Trek. Could take it or leave it. I more want to talk about the kind of quality control that's going on with Super 7 lately that I've noticed. It's not so great.
Let's talk about that for sure. The only point I want to make about this is I got really excited when I saw these because much like Indiana Jones, which we discussed last episode, way back on an early episode, we talked about three lines that we're surprised that didn't have more of a current standard running given the number of characters, worlds, and storylines that happened. It was Indiana Jones, James Bond, and Star Trek were the big three that we came up with where there wasn't a consistent presence or any presence in some cases at all. So Star Trek has now, there's hot toys and all those bigger expensive dollies, of course, but Super 7 has Reaction going for Next Generation as well. And now they have their Ultimates. And Playmates has entered the arena of Star Trek as well.
Again.
And they're doing like 3-figure waves of different iterations. So they have Wrath of Khan wave, which includes Khan, Spock, and Kirk. They have Picard, Riker, and Data. And then they have, I think, Discovery, a character from Discovery, a character from Deep Space Nine, and another one. I'm not 100% sure. But those figures are less than $20 Canadian versus $85 Canadian. And if I'm looking, say, like at, we'll just say Riker.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Jay, this character is a guy in a suit with a phaser. How many points of articulation do I need to really establish that? And how much different is the likeness going to be on a human head? Do I need 600 hands? Do I need all the cool Easter egg accessories that come with it?
Well, I'll never dump on Star Trek for that stuff. There was a time.
No, I'm just talking figures in general. I'm not even talking brand. So what you get for less than $20 versus what you get for $85 when it's just a guy in a suit with a gun.
I think if you're doing, I mean, it would be the same for Bond. Let's just say there's a Bond line. Okay. So it's a guy in a suit with a little pistol. That's it.
I take a 4-inch Bond in a superpower scale over a 55.
At this point in time, it all keeps coming back to price. And I'm sorry, but I would rather pay $20.
Yeah.
And my figure spotlight might be the same as yours, but I think you know what it is. And we're going to get to that. My point to this is you'll see that I would rather pay less and get a pretty decent figure. I mean, when did toys become living
video games?
Statues. When did they become video like video games? When did they become living statues? I like you know, the more it looks like Mark Hamill, that's great. But I'm not all for paying $80 because it looks more like the actor. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, in season two of Action Figure Adventure, which we will talk about soon, because I'm excited to get your take on it, where we are now. People talk about, you know, the importance of it being like the playability of a figure and like being able to have fun with it. And when you put all your development investment into the likeness, like it doesn't look like a toy. It just looks like a statue behind plastic. And like, do you want to play with that or do you want to stand back and just admire it?
That's a good question. Only, you know, each of us individually can answer that. I don't know. There was a time when being having more realism was what I wanted, especially with like Luke Skywalker, for instance. Now the prices are so outrageous that I would rather have, to back to your point, I'd rather have the $20 Spock figure than an $80 Spock figure. I just would. And I've seen these Playmates ones and you've seen them too. And I think they're great.
Yeah.
Especially for the cost. I think Playmates in particular, here you go. They're coming in. They're like, okay. You know, they have the plastic.
There's a window.
You could see the figure. It's very reasonable cost wise. You could get a whole wave plus the, you know, for the price of one of these Ultimate figures. And I got to say, I'm a big Super 7 Ultimate Thundercats fan. I haven't got the last two waves because you know what? They're not so ultimate. The paint jobs are brutal and they don't look good anymore.
Let's talk about that quality control on the paint apps, or should I say the difference between the digital renderings that we've seen when the item goes up for pre-order versus what the actual product is.
Final product, yeah.
Super
7 to me was always a high quality. I'm by no means a Super 7 expert, Rob. In fact, you probably have way more. Our buddy Peter has all of them. For me, I have Thundercats and I really loved the way they looked. The first wave, it was definitely a step up. It was in between like regular figures and Hot Toys. It was in between there, the sweet spot for a pretty reasonable price. Now the last two waves I've looked at, they're just, they look sloppy. There's really no detail. Most of them that I've got lately, the last wave of Thundercats I opened, there's been paint that's literally chipped off in the box. They look mass produced now when, in my opinion, they used to look more, there was more love given to them. I know that probably wasn't the case, but yeah, the quality control is really bad. And the prices have gone up with those as well. So I have two waves that I've canceled because I'm like, I don't care how much I love Hammerhand and I love Hammerhand. I don't care. I'm not paying $80 for Hammerhand. I just won't do it.
I wonder if there's a world where that figure goes on sale. I can't imagine somebody
wants Hammerhand.
Exactly. All the more reason for that figure to be on sale versus, you know, something like color changing Lino or whatever.
Yeah. And again, I'm sorry, audience. We are not grumpy old men. But this is a real problem in this world of collecting toys right now is the cost of everything. That's why I keep coming back to it is because ultimately everything comes down to that. We're at a time now where, yeah, I'll never quit collecting toys. It's a part of me. It's part of you. But it's just like, I don't want any part of this anymore. I feel like I'm being robbed at this point. I feel like I'm being like it's extortion. You know, it's like, yeah, I know you want this Luke Skywalker. Well, you're going to give me $90 because he's got a new cloak. It's like, all right. Can't do it anymore.
Yeah. It's funny. The last thing I'll say on price, maybe, is we got a Toys R Us Christmas catalog in the mail. It's the big book of play, and I haven't seen a toy Christmas catalog for a very long time.
Yeah, I got that.
And my kids went nuts for it. They flocked to it and were looking through all the pages and stuff, and it was cool that they were getting excited by stuff that they wanted to play with versus, you know, screens and apps and games and all that stuff, which there's certainly a lot of discussion about in our house as well. But I found it really interesting that over 70%, maybe 80% of the book had these objects in it. And there was no prices on them.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'll tell you, the 20% or so that did have prices, they seemed astonishingly high.
Toys R Us.
A Disney Princess Castle over $200. And this is a retail item.
Yeah.
And it's the size of Eternia.
So Toys R Us still exists in Canada. And I got to be honest, for how long? I don't know. Because, yeah, they are a good $15, $20 above everything else in almost every category. And their NECA stuff, our buddy, we were talking to our buddy Brom the other day, and the NECA stuff is a good $15, $20 higher than any comic shop, than any video game store like EB. It's $20 more. There's no reason why they should be more, except corporate greed. And they know that people want to go to Toys R Us because remember Toys R Us? Yeah. Oh, everyone remembers Toys R Us. They want to come to Toys R Us and it's an event. So we're going to take more money from you. It's just too much greed.
We were talking specifically about how like the horror NECA figures, like the Jasons and the Freddies, are all at Toys R Us. Like none of the independent comic shops can get them. And you've got to pay the $15 extra, which the only way that you would do that and could rationalize it is if you wanted to pay that instead of having to go to the States, like find them in a Walmart or a Target, or instead of having to buy them on eBay. Because you're going to have to pay that shipping or that markup anyways.
I never thought I'd say this, okay? But I'm going to say it.
Here it comes.
Everyone, listen. I'm going to say it. Shopping online on Amazon and eBay, even Big Bad Toy Store sometimes, is more fun. It's more fun now than going out there hunting. I'll say it. You heard it from me, the guy. I think it's less stressful. You know what you're getting, and you actually have a chance to find it, and you get a chance to find things on sale. Dude, I hate going out there now and looking for this, not vintage, I'm talking about brand new stuff and trying to find that one figure.
I don't like the race. The race is different than the hunt. The hunt, you can go out and take your time and see what you find, score something, come back.
But if you have race certain in mind,
I don't like the race, which is what makes Action Figure Adventure and Nintendo Quest so fun. The race as well as the hunt, but I do not like the race.
So don't take what I'm saying wrong, everyone out there listening. I don't not like doing that stuff anymore. I just mean, racing. It's like the new wave is out with Falcon. It's like, oh my God, I got to go out there. And then you go into Toys R Us and it's basically, they're like, put your hands up. You're like, okay, man, just, I'll take the Falcon. You can have whatever's in my wallet.
However much you need. Like. Here, I'll just empty my wallet.
That's what I feel like.
Talk to me calmly.
Exactly.
That's all.
I got a coupon. Don't be smart, kid. Okay, sorry. Forget the coupon.
And at least, and even like I said, Amazon has deals now on sale. So does Big Bad Toy Store. You know what you can get, and you can take your time. Nothing is better than Big Bad's pre-order system. You know,
pre-order, cancel. It doesn't cost you a thing. Yeah. No penalty. It's amazing. And then they email you, I think, a day before to let you know that the stuff's arrived. You can get charged. It's great.
That's right. We mentioned Action Figure Adventure. Season 2 continues to roll out on Jinx Esports TV Canada exclusively. We are still working on deals so the rest of the world can see it. Probably once the Canada window is done, you'll be able to check it out. But Season 2, Episode 2 has premiered, Jay, without giving anything away. What did you think? And have you heard anything about this episode from people
out
there?
A lot of good feedback. Not giving anything away. We spend a lot of time in one particular store. A good buddy of ours.
Yeah, Dark Matter. We can
see Dark Matter. It's a great episode. And Craig does a lot of wonderful things in this episode. He's a very generous guy. And then at the tail end of it, we get to go to arguably maybe our favorite place, which is Treehouse. And we get to visit Chris. Yeah, it's a really, really solid episode. And this is even before we even head out east. We can't even get out.
This is all like day one, which is the funny thing, because it's a 10-episode series. And as you craft it, you don't really know how it's all going to fit. You kind of get a sense of how much might get cut down and what each store might be. But day one is episodes 1, 2, and 3 of the 10-episode series.
Yeah, it's great. And these things literally happened on the fly. Like, we didn't plan to go on Dark Matter. Like, in the episode, that's the way it was supposed to be. We're supposed to hit it on the way back.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, I got this and I got that. So we went there. And
what I really like about...
Sealed Pee-wee. Should have got that.
Well, you know, that's kind of the thing that I really like about the episode is there's some obvious cool things that you have to consider for the sake of the auction, but Dark Matter is just an eclectic blend of everyone's childhood from every era. There's literally something for everyone in that store Even if it's only one piece, there's something that you'll find there.
The segment in the center of the episode as well that revolves around the collectors is really great. I can't remember the collector's name. You can help me with this. The Transformer, the guy who likes Hound.
Walter.
Yeah, Walter. Walter talks about how one day he just, you know, he had all these expensive box Transformers. And then one day he just opened everything.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it was great because you and I think went through this about a year ago.
Did you see his reaction? He was telling the stories and he goes, yeah, I know, because I lost my hat when he said that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
and then following that, you have Justice with another great line. And of course, I'm going to paraphrasing here, but where he's just like, you know, it's my 1987 G.I. Joe vehicle. And I opened it because I wanted a pristine mint G.I. Joe, whatever, where I can put the stickers on. And more importantly, because it's mine and I'm going to do what I want with my toy. It's like, you're exactly right. It's a great segment in the middle too. I loved it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And Mysterion, hilarious, was watching, I think season 2 of Kenny versus Spenny. Mysterion's in that as well. And I was like, I know that guy. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. The small world that we live in, all these people keep coming out every time we do a new season. Our community gets bigger and stranger. Which is awesome. The other post that I made online is I posted, I think it was even just yesterday, was on Nintendo Quest. I just happened to post like a screen cap of a review and people went nuts for that. Like people like kept commenting nonstop. And as of late, I keep getting like an influx of messages of people discovering Nintendo Quest for the very first time, which of course, you like the film, yada, yada. It's great. When's the sequel coming? And so I was curious what you thought, and we've talked about this a million times, but every year goes by.
We can't quite get the formula correct. And what
No. Leave that out. Just throw that at the door. I'm curious. Don't worry about the production side of it. Don't even worry about your budget side of it.
No, the idea. The idea.
What would you rather do, Super Nintendo Quest or N64 Quest? And what would the rules be for you?
Did you have the same guy reach out to you? Because I had a guy, I think it was this morning or last night, to say you should do N64. No. I would 100% do N64. 100%.
As a full completion?
Oh, yeah. The library is far more interesting.
It's like 365 games or something like that. It's small.
I don't know offhand. I just know that there's a time. Then you have the Clay Fighter Blockbuster exclusive, stuff like that. The library is just, it's more interesting. Now, Super Nintendo has a good core, like wham, bam, bam, bam. But I think overall N64 just has better games. You got two Zelda games, not one. You have GoldenEye, you have Perfect Dark, you have the expansion pack, you have the Rumble pack, and Mario 64.
According to Wikipedia, N64 has 388 games.
Yeah. Now, both would be extremely expensive to do. It would be so expensive. But I if you were going to ask me if I really had a choice, you know, if we sat down and wrote this thing out, I would pick 64. And that's one that I think would do well.
So I'm just saying,
I don't, Super Nintendo doesn't sit right with me as like, I'm confident that it will do great. 64.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Does though, but
either way, I don't worry about it, which way that it would go. Just a quick Google search, trying to figure out what the library of games is for the SNES. In Japan, there's over 1500 games released for the SNES.
Yeah, I believe that.
So that would be like more than double what you had to do for Nintendo Quest, or half with N64.
I mean, it's next year will be 10 years since we shot that, you know, and I'm still waiting for Glenn to come up with the Nintendo Fest blueprints. I mean, when
Nintendo Fest, we're waiting for it.
But
you know that guy's thinking about moving out of our town and moving out to the West Coast.
I do. Yeah.
What's up with that? I didn't approve this. Nintendo Fest, West Coast, Nintendo West.
Sure, we can go visit Nintendo. Whatever. Then they'll be like, yeah, we still don't want you to interview Miyamoto, so get out of here.
The reality is, for any video game quest base, even if it is revolving around a Nintendo thing or something more broad like we've discussed with Gamer Quest, every iteration of Nintendo is interesting for different reasons. I think SNES is really interesting because it is trying to piggyback off the success of the NES. It comes out after Genesis, and you got the whole 16-bit console war. And the titles that are out there are really interesting. Like, some of those RPGs are like the staple RPGs, and those are the big pricey ones in that library, right?
Yeah. Yes. But if I was to go the other way, I mean, we lived through both of these generations, but 64 came out for that system that were impossible to find when they came out because they were in such demand. You couldn't get GoldenEye for like 6 months.
I find it interesting with the 64 era that gamers weren't as splintered as they were in the 16-bit era. I mean, yeah, there was PlayStation, and yeah, there was Saturn, and yes, there was Dreamcast later, but it wasn't like, it didn't feel the same way where it was, you're either Super Nintendo or your Genesis or Turbo or Jaguar. It really felt like you had to choose in the 16-bit era. Whereas, like, oh, I got a 64. It's like, okay. You almost had a 64 and a PS1.
But that's what Nintendo has been like since the 64.
Yeah.
The exception is the Wii U, which is just, you know, the stinkiest system they ever created, in my opinion. Oh,
it's great.
But
it's a great system.
Nintendo is, since 64, always been great to have on its own. So you have what I call the big boys, PlayStation and Xbox, and then it's okay to have a Nintendo because Nintendo is not really on that same level. In most ways, they're far above it. They always have been. But you want Call of Duty and your meat and potatoes, you get that on PlayStation, and then you have all the cool Zelda and Mario stuff on Nintendo.
We also got somebody writing in and didn't suggest doing a Super Nintendo Quest or an N64 Quest, but literally Nintendo Quest 2. And this is
it again. Like,
this
you,
is what
you go do it, whoever you are.
Well, this is what they wrote, and the individual's name is Cloud or Claude, and they said, "This is the whole thing." I'm like, "What was your ideas?" And this is what they wrote. Rob and Jay are hanging out playing Battletoads NES when they start reminiscing of how much fun they had making Nintendo Quest 9 years ago. Jay mentions this guy named Claude who has watched Nintendo Quest 11 times. Had suggested doing a sequel. Rob chimes in and says, yeah, he messaged me the same thing, several suggestions to make it fresh. Here are his suggestions. Going to all new cities, increase budgets, as the games have all went up in price, and at least several cities organize mini Nintendo NES parties with local fans. Look for new people in the NES community to participate in some way, shape, or form. Also, everyone loves sequels. He goes on to say, I've watched all the behind the scenes videos you put up on YouTube, and this would be something that would increase the value of your franchises. FYI, I do have a full-time job, own a house, am married, have 5 kids, attend church, own a car, do volunteer work. I'm a normal guy, meaning I think a lot of others are out there are like me. Nintendo Quest sequel would help promote your action figure show and vice versa and get more publicity for both. Who knows what new unplanned situations will pop up while filming the sequel? How many new people will you meet along the way this time? There's no way of knowing what games might fall into your lap early this time and what seemingly common games might be terribly difficult to find next time around. You could also pass out Tendo okay. Quest flyers with DVD information, websites, Facebook pages, your action figure TV show. Maybe Nintendo Quest stickers or gum cards you guys had for the show. You could slightly tweak the rules if you wanted this time around. Can you buy one game online this time around, but it can't be stadium events? Would Jay like to have a complete collection of NES games to display in 2023? You two clearly had a blast first time around, and there's no reason to think you wouldn't have a phenomenal time while filming a sequel. Because so much is unscripted, you truly don't know a sequel could even be better. That's true.
Well, it's all unscripted. There's nothing. The only thing that's scripted is the roots, and even that changes, right? Claude, I'm going to call you Claude. If I mispronounced your name, I apologize, dude. Thanks very much for taking the time and effort to write in and give us your idea for a sequel. I mean, that's like George Lucas redoing Star Wars again. I don't think like we're the on the same editions? Level as George Lucas.
Like the special editions, Jay? Should we just go back and do some scenes?
Reshooting the whole thing again.
Okay, go ahead. You mean like you did with THX? Like when he did the short film and then he made it into a feature?
No, I'm specifically talking about Star Wars.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So if you were to reshoot Star Wars and get all new actors or even the same actors, whoever's still around, I don't see that happening. And I got to be honest, I don't want to do that again. It's a personal achievement of mine. It's an achievement for Rob in different ways as well. But you can't recreate that. I'm not going to go after stadium events again. I'll tell you what, if Oasis ever gets back together, we'll reshoot Nintendo Quest. How's that? That's about as much chance as
I'm not agreeing to that because that seems more likely than us shooting Nintendo Quest as a sequel and not doing, you know, a Super Nintendo N64, a Genesis Quest, a Dreamcast Quest,
a Saturn Quest. Well, I mean, the other thing too is, you know, we have to come up with a budget for this. Does it make sense? And that's the thing. I mean, it's only been 10 years, and I say only, but a lot's changed in media in 10 years. A lot has changed.
Yeah.
It's increasingly getting more difficult to get this stuff out there. And to find sponsors and stuff like that is also tough. I mean, we can't, you know, pull the money out of our personal banks at this point. Rob has kids. You know, I have a house now. Rob has a house. You know, there's all that stuff. So I'm not trying to be that guy, dude, and I appreciate your enthusiasm.
I hate the price of stuff nowadays. I don't like your ideas. I'm happy in my house.
No, I just don't want to. I don't want to try and recreate. I would be more willing to do 64 Genesis. We could do a little short TurboGrafx Quest. There's three games. No, we'll do CDI Quest.
Yeah. Hotel Mario, Gamma.
The three Zelda games, Hotel Mario and Burn Cycle, and the rest you don't need. There you go. Solo seventh guest. You need seventh guest.
Sure. Sure. You can see that. One of the reasons I bring this up is because with Action Figure Adventure Season 2 coming out, and in some people's mind, the rather lengthy delay between Season 1 and Season 2, obviously pandemic played a bit of a role in that delay. People are already asking about Season 3 because they truly love the show. They enjoy every episode and look forward to it. They like that it's being released on a week-by-week schedule so that it's something to look forward to. And, you know, much like trying to figure out what we would do with a Nintendo Quest successor, it's like, what do we do for subsequent seasons of Action Figure Adventure? It's harder. And the segments that you talk about today and praise today, like the interview stuff, that stuff is a huge time and cash burner to create, not only from sending crews in some cases to do the interviews and all the travel costs to go to like a city for a single interview, but also sorting through all the footage and cobbling the scenes together and then having the cutaways for each of the things that people are talking about. That takes a ton of time, probably like four times as long than shooting Jay in a store, which makes me think that if I were to look at doing a Season 3, assuming Jay would want to do a Season 3 and that there was a platform and we could afford to actually produce a Season 3, instead of doing those interviews, it would probably be something more like having a second collector. But who would that second collector be, Jay?
Johnny Arcade, obviously.
Johnny Arcade would be the second collector. Now, I'm not talking about a rival, because that's not what we believe in. We're not about competing or competition. We are about
my
community.
New best friend.
Jay's new best friend. And I'm talking about divergent quests. So Jay would have a route that he goes on, and so-and-so would have the route that they go on, too. And we would cross-cut back and forth, and they would be working together for the same goal. And then you could follow both paths and see where they are, and they could check in with each other on the road or meet up after the fact and discuss how that went down and what they all witnessed. I think that would be fun. But I have no idea who that other collector would be. Do you have any qualities, do you think, that this other collector should be, Jay? Like, what would they have to... This is not an open casting call, necessarily. But if you wanted to be part of Action Figure Adventure Season 3 and be the second guy or girl, what qualities would they need, Jay? This is your expertise.
Well, you have to be willing to
have your name underneath Jay's on the poster. And
I guess I got to be perfectly honest here and open. And you have to have a personal budget.
Yeah.
You really do. And I don't like to talk about money. I don't. I get asked all the time about it. I don't like talking about it. In this particular instance, I will. You have to have some money. And Rob is not rich. I am not rich. These are funds that are put aside because we have a plan to shoot next summer or whatever it is. That's hard. That's hard for him and I. And as we go further in our personal lives and this professional career here, it's getting more difficult to do as well. So that collector needs to know that you're going to have to fork over some of this money, because there's this common misconception that, you know, the television networks and people like that pay for this stuff. They do not.
No, they don't.
They absolutely do not. It's not like I said, even 10 years ago, it would have been a little bit different. But even 20 years ago, that might have been the case. It's not like that now. It's very
difficult. Which is what makes it so real when you see Jay sweating the dollars that he's spending. Because they're
coming out of my... And I don't see the money again for a year or whatever it is.
Whenever the auction happens. Right?
So yeah, that's the first thing you got to consider. And, you know, you're going to be away from your family for a little bit. It depends. We might shoot in a week. It might be sporadic through 6 months. Who knows, right? It's just whatever happens. Those are the two main obstacles I face. So, you know, if you can get past that stuff.
Knowledge, on top of understanding.
Yeah, I mean, I'm by no means any expert.
No, but you got to know a fair amount.
Yeah, of you got to know your stuff.
Figures and lines and history and prices.
I love it when we go into stores where we talk to collectors and they tell me something I don't know. I love learning new things like that, right? I don't have to be the expert on whatever. Those are the two main obstacles. So if that sounds like something you want to do, hey, maybe reach out.
We should do a Kickstarter for season 3 and just put a giant stupid number on being the second collector. And that'll fund the whole season.
Yeah.
And that'll be that. What do you think?
I like that. I like the idea of us not having to put out an extreme amount of money like we usually do.
Yeah.
Like that idea. Because that's so stressful on both of us.
Yeah. And so everybody's asking, everybody that's a Kickstarter backer and everybody that's in Canada is able to watch season 2. And this is where the stress that I endure, because I, of course, front the cost for the production, which is not cheap when you're paying everybody's salaries, meals, travel, and lodging expenses. So believe me, I want to get that out there so I can recoup that cash and pay my mortgage. You know, that would be nice. And if there's money left over from that, then that's when we talk about a season 3. But usually the creative is the hardest thing to come up with, and you can find interesting solutions to get around production stuff if necessary.
Yeah, I mean, if the stars align and it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I say that for the video game stuff. I say that for the toy stuff and whatever else we might do down the road. You just know when it clicks and it feels right. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
You got something for Action Figure Spotlight?
I do. You were there. So we probably have the same thing. But
you want to go first?
Sure. Speaking of cheaper toys and companies that seem to be doing it right, just a little double check. This is Playmates. Yes, it is Playmates. So The Last Ronin is a storyline that came out, I think, this year. It's kind of taken the Turtles world by storm. It's very adult, and there's a lot of bad stuff that happens in it. Anyway, Playmates has released The Last Ronin, and there's two versions of this figure. There's a Chase black and white, kind of harking back to the original Eastman and Laird comics. And then there's the full color version of the figure. I was lucky enough to track down both. So I'm going to showcase the Playmates Last Ronin black and white figure, which will go nicely with my 2008.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Where did you get that black and white one?
Oh, keep talking about it. It was special ordered.
Yeah. Just keep talking about your dolly.
There's someone who had it on special order, and it was me.
Uh-huh.
So there he is. I have the color one too, so I'm going to do my video this weekend will be on the other figure. I don't think I'm going to open this guy because realistically it's a color. It's a color thing. He's the exact same figure with the exact same accessories. So yeah, that's the last Ronin figure, and he's gorgeous.
I'm surprised you can open the color one since the color one is from the comics.
Exactly.
You'd open the other one.
But I like the black and white stuff. No, the black and white one's worth like five times what the color one is too. So
bootleg.
Believe me, that newness will fade off. Just like the white box Mandalorian figure faded off. It's just right now it's new. So it's like, I'm never going to open this one, but I'm sure in a couple months I'll be like, let's open that one. But it's literally the same figure. So I'm probably going to do the color one and keep that one in the box.
Uh-huh.
But as you know, I'm not a big Turtles guy.
I do. Oh, like, really? Well, you know, you don't need two Turtles. You got the rule of two and a variant.
So I
and you're not a Turtles
four.
Fan.
I needed to get four, really.
You're not even a Turtles fan. And yet you got this.
But that's
too bad you didn't know anybody that really likes The Last Ronin and is a Turtles fan. That would have.
Well, I think that guy's got,
appreciated.
He got something behind his right shoulder there.
Would really appreciated.
Dirty old like duck.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got Ace Duck. He's over here. I don't know.
There he is.
Oh, that's not what I'm showcasing. I was going to showcase, to continue with the themes, of course, here is the colored Last Ronin right here. Okay. And this was $38 Canadian. But the figure that I wanted to showcase it against is Slash from the Super 7 Ultimates. Now, this is a really wicked figure. It is a huge character. Like, the sculpt is massive. There's a huge weight to it. It's probably my second or third favorite TMNT Ultimates that has been released. It is just really impressive on all the details. There's so much scarring and scales on the figure itself. The colors really pop. Unlike a lot of the Super 7 stuff I've seen as of late, like Ace Duck here, for example. Ace Duck's like jacket here isn't nearly as dark and as brown as the original one was in the toy. I feel like a lot of the colors are getting washed out in the Super 7 stuff. Like you were talking about that earlier, Jay, with the paint apps.
Yeah,
this one seems to be bang on. You know, yeah, this one
just,
seems to be,
overall, I think as a whole, they just don't pop as much. But that Slash one looks great.
Yeah, and he's pretty terrific. This was the pick and choose one I did from that wave. I got Ace because he came up locally and I had some store credit. But the thing I really wanted to talk about with these two figures is $38, essentially $85. And what are you getting that much difference for it? I mean, it's obviously bigger. There's a lot of accessories, but there's a ton of accessories in this too. And this just looks like a vintage Ninja Turtle, which I think is what makes it so cool and works for that storyline that much more, because it is about what happens to the turtles as they go forward. So for less than half the cost to have a figure that is nostalgic, that does fit in with that original line and is still modern and current and part of something that I truly appreciated as a fan, you can't go wrong with that. I too have the black and white one ordered from an e-retailer that was guaranteed. It would have been nice to pick it up locally.
Playmates, but, a round of applause for Playmates right now. They're doing great with the Star
Trek. We talked about this too. Do you remember when we talked about this last year when they announced this figure and the NECA one, which is the same price, I believe, or the NECA one now might be $10 more Canadian because of the price uptick.
Right.
And I said right then, I said, I think the Playmates one looks a little bit better. It's going to be a little less stiff. It's going to be a little bit more. I feel like I could play with that. I feel like if we played Turtles, this would be the turtle that you'd want to be.
And that's what I mean, right? It feels like a toy. Like we seem to, over the years, we got away from that where it was more statuesque. And now it's, I would rather play with the toy. And it's Playmates. I mean, they made the original turtle figures. So there's that connection with that as well.
Believe me, this was very close to being a rule of two, just because the figure is that good. And if, you know, to have one and open, but you know, we said a long time ago, we can't do that anymore. There's too much stuff there that we do want. So doubling up on a figure is that much harder to do these days, I think.
Agreed, my friend.
That'll do it for another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show / Video Game Chat Fest. Thanks for indulging us as we talk about Action Figure Adventure Season 2, of course, Nintendo Quest and its many entities. These are all things that we are considering. You know, as many as like 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been very easy for Jay and I to say, no, we don't ever want to do a Nintendo Quest-like thing again with video games. Times change. And I'm always open to the right thing if the formula's there. Like Jay said, if the stars align, I'm happy to go down that path. I don't know what that is yet. But I think for the first time in a long time, I'm much more open-minded about what that could be.
I would agree. I would agree with you.
Yes.
Any big plans before next week's show?
We have our Halloween show tonight with my band, so I'm pretty excited. Doing a lot of streaming this weekend, and I gotta give a shout out to everybody who is hanging out with me during those streams. I mean, they're long, 3-4 hour streams, and it's just amazing company. And the support I'm getting is really amazing. So thanks to everyone out there.
Well, I try to pop in for 3 to 5 minutes, stir the pot, and leave.
You're like, hey, goodbye.
They're like, oh, look, there's dusty old McAloo.
And like I said, to clarify again, because I've had another few people reach out to me, I still collect toys. It's just merging my video game stuff and my toy stuff.
Like your new logo. You're holding a controller and an action figure.
That's right. And thank you to our good buddy Jeremy for designing the logo for my channel, redesigning it. He's just this fantastic work. But yeah, no, it's just combining my two loves. And streaming is a lot of fun. And I don't feel so guilty spending hours playing video games now that I get to hang out with everybody. And it's great.
Where can people find you for your streaming information and keep up to date with what's going on, your schedules and other things that you're posting?
My schedule is on social media. That's something I'm still ironing out because things come up each week. But I like to do the same stream times. So we have the toy live chat with Chad Friday nights at 8, except tonight because I'm playing a show, which I am live streaming.
But by the time
this comes out, sorry.
Is that a weekly thing now, you and Chad? Is that a thing that you guys are always doing versus
where we put two figures against each other? It's a lot of fun.
You got to have a weekly show, huh? Is that the deal? You got to have a weekly toy show?
I've been going. I haven't had a break. Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yep. Toys. Okay. Your toys for boys and girls.
Nice to know you got room for your old pal, Rob, on afternoon.
You're always invited.
I always show up.
I call Rob the million and one excuses. I can't because I do, 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 do.
I can't because I got to pay my bills with real things that pay my bills. Yeah. I'm not good enough to stream and do stuff. Nobody cares about that.
You got to keep working. Got to keep doing it.
You can find me on Twitter, of course, at Rob McZobin on Instagram. Same kind of places as well. And we'll put out another show next week, unless the world ends. So we'll see you guys. If you love a toy and the warmth of scarves, take care of each other.
Take care of yourselves.
Take care of yourselves too. Sure. And it could have worked either way. You could have rolled with it, Jay.
Because the best boy toy is girl toy, boys.
Is the best time of day, Jay?
Playtime, obviously.
Playtime. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you later. Sorry that this wasn't live, but it seemed like it was live. It's not live. It's pre-recorded, but it goes out live. Cheers.